Tonight, everyone online, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, find it. National Vietnam Veterans Day is today, Pastor Cole, so I want to thank all our Vietnam vets out there. Thank you. You weren't thanked too good when you came back home, but we want to thank you now. I have some dear friends that are Vietnam vets. My stepdad's a Vietnam vet, so thank you for your service. You fought for our freedom, so I appreciate that very much. Well, Brightway Baptist Church, we had a good service out there this morning. I preached on the authority of God. Hey, first I want to say congratulations to the Bucos, your grandparents. Wonderful. Congratulations if you're watching or if you watch this recorded, which you probably will watch it recorded. Congratulations. And we had a good service out there this morning. Actually, Pastor, I cannot believe it. I always say this. Young people, time flies. Make this day count. You know, Charlie Daniels, he's an old rock and roller, but he's born again saved. Now, he wrote a book called Make This Day Count. And boy, we need to get up every day and try to make that day count. He has a lot of good things in that book. But it's been 2 years, Pastor. Easter will be 2 years I've been out there at Brightway. It's hard to believe that time has just flown by. So, you know, I preached a message on authority this morning, biblical authority. I thought it was an appropriate message for this time that we're living in right now. And, you know, I talked about there's an authority of God. There's an authority of Christ. It's been what I've been trying to teach for the last few years is simple, basic stuff to get a grounded group of people in there that know the word and obey authorities and how we're supposed to do it. There's the authority of God, of Christ, of Scripture, governmental authority, and the home authority, and we need to be right in the home, and the authority of the past, you know, past leaders and preachers. The sermon's recorded online. If anyone wants to listen to it, go to facebook.com, Brightway Baptist Church, and you can find it. And then spiritual authority. So, and I was just thinking when I was preaching that, about from the past, and I said, wow. You know, I remember the second week I said, Pastor, I'll fill the pulpit. We're getting all these missionaries in every week. And I said, I'll fill the pulpit, and, you know, I don't want to keep paying these missionaries. I'll just do it for free. I've been doing it for free for 2 years. Well, I get salary here, but you know what I mean. So you've been doing it for over 12 years over the other church for free, more or less. We're getting rewards in heaven, brother. But, you know, I remember the second week there, one of the ladies said, why don't we just throw Brother Frank in as the pastor right now? And I'm yelling, no way, Jose. Because you know what? When I talked this morning about, you know, the authority of those who have gone past the past. I don't remember those, you know, from the past. And, you know, we got to give an account. So, brother, I'm sitting behind the pulpit now at that church. I'm going to give an account. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. So, you know, things are going good out there. I love the people. I'm falling in love with the people, brother. So, Brother Kyle and Josh and Peggy, they were all there this morning. They're the three most faithful people I've ever seen. And Tanya, she would be there, but she's very compromised right now with what she went through. Hi, Tanya, if you're watching. She's amazing. I told her she's the reason I accepted the call to go. And watching her, if she could do it, I could do it. So Brightway's going good. We're hoping to go forward with some evangelism, some outreach to the community. We got to reach the community, and we need prayers, we need help in the small group. We'd like to see our attendance get up to 30 people this year. We had 7 people there this morning. We kept it under the 10, brother. We had a service, and we bagged our lunches up. We all took bags. We were safe, so we had a good service this morning. Things are going well out there, so that's all I wanted to say about that. I wasn't even going to talk about it at all, but yes, maybe a little bit, so I will. So Mark chapter 4, this is a small pulpit. I like my pulpit. I'll take up more room. Let's stand, as you found it, Mark 4, verse 35. We'll read responsibly. That means I'll read the first verse, and then we all read the second verse together. Then I'll read the next, then we read it together, and at the end, if they go together, we read them together. So Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says, and the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Lord, or let us pass over unto the other side together. And when they had sent him away, the multitude, and there was also with him other little ships. Why am I so nervous right now? I'm never nervous. I preach every single week. It's just something about being behind the pulpit of Pastor Cole's church. So where are we? And there arose a great storm of the wind, and the waves beat unto the ships, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and it was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Together now, verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You may be seated. I'll pray. Justin will play a song. I'll get up here and I'll preach a message entitled this morning or this afternoon, Master Careth Thou Not. Master Careth Thou Not. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, I need your help right now, Lord. Help me to get out of the way. Frank has nothing to do with this sermon. It's all about you, Lord. I most desperately need your help tonight, so help me. Lord, give me clear thoughts. I have a good message here on paper. I think it'll help every one of us. I know I need the help from it. So, Lord, just fill each one of us with your spirit. Every person living on, listening online and sitting here amongst us in this small group tonight, help us, Lord. We need your help. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to strong, when for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? My sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the day
Justin, does Jesus care? Yes, we'll find out. He does care. He loves us so much. Master, careth thou not? You know, here we find an interesting thing about our Savior in these in our scripture verses tonight. He says, during a storm, Jesus was asleep in the back of his ship while his disciples were on top. They were worrying about whether they were going to die. You know, and he's sleeping. But it's great to remember Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4, Brother Justin. It says, where the Bible says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But here, Jesus is asleep. What's going on? He goes, so the disciples ask this. He goes, Master, careth thou not that we perish? He goes, I don't say, what a foolish question to ask the Savior. Of course the Savior cares. He was asleep because he was tired. You know, he was still a man when he was on earth, right? And he was never not aware of the problem. There may be times when, my friends, we need to ask the Savior, Master, careth thou not that we perish? I have a few points I want to talk about along the subject of Master, careth thou not. I want to say number one, Master, careth thou not that we cannot get to heaven on our own? No, people say all over the world, oh, God is so cruel, and how people are going to get saved, and all these, you know the story, how people accuse us, and, you know, God is so cruel. No, God isn't cruel. Master, careth thou not that we can't get to heaven on our own? No, He does care, and He has done everything that is necessary to save us. Everything. It's not through church. This church cannot save a soul. It's not through anything like that. It's not through your good works. The Bible says all our good works are filthy rags. All our righteousness are filthy rags in God's sight. He alone provides the means. But we must make a choice. I believe with all my heart, Brother Justin, that if some person, God's dealt that initial bit of faith inside of every human. And if that person has the desire to learn more about God, somehow, some way, God will get that person the gospel. Somehow. And He'll use somebody like you in the jungles of Papua New Guinea and the hills of Papua New Guinea and all over. And Brother Raxon, He's using you in the Philippines. And all over. Brother Walter is using you. And Brother Aaron and all our missionaries we support all over this world. I believe if someone has a desire to find the Lord, He'll send someone to them and they'll get the gospel. Because outside of us human instrumentalities, no man's ever been saved. Someone's wrote the pages. Someone's did the book. God needs us. And He has provided a way. The Master does care. And He's provided a way for us to heaven. Yeah, He cares. Yes, Jesus cares. And He has provided the way for not just a few. There's four people, five, six, counting Cindy, seven, two girls, eight people in here tonight. We're under the limit. Nine, count me, I guess. So, it's not just for us. It's for how many people in the world right now? 8 million, is it? Or with the nine? I don't know. He's provided a way for all of them. Everyone that ever lived and everyone that ever will live. Jesus cares and He's provided a way for us to get to heaven. And He's proven it. John 3:16 says the most famous verse perhaps in the Bible, I would think, you know, for God, but so loved the world. Pastor, great point this morning. Sometimes these cliche verses we got to memorize are fancy signs, they lose their value. Let's never let John 3:16 lose its value, my friends. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that was me when I was 14 years old, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I need to move a little bit. It gets my pattern going and it takes my nervous about. So don't mind me. I wiggle and jiggle up here. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever... That's you, Pastor Seth. That's you, Pastor Cole. That's you, Carol, Jake. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13 tells us, shall be saved. Have you availed yourself to the free gift of eternal life? For by grace, Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? Say it. The gift of God. You know, in Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We all know these verses, but do we really appreciate the power? I'm not sure we do, but that was a good point you made this morning, Pastor Cole. I'll never forget that. When these cliche verses, I don't want to call them that. No verse of cliche, but you know what I mean. They become ornaments in our house almost sometimes. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Master, careth not that we cannot get to heaven on our own? No, He cares. I know, as Justin's saying, my Savior cares. And He has provided a way to heaven. Number two, Master, careth thou not that we cannot live the Christian life on our own? And my friends, it is true. We cannot live the Christian life on our own. The problem is so many try. And that's why, you know, on a good day, you know, a lot of people aren't sitting in these pews. Because they're trying to live the Christian life on their own. And it's like, Pastor, I'll never forget my son's funeral. We had it right here. And you had mentioned you kept records and thousands of people have been through the church. How many altogether, not just the bus route, how many thousands have been through the doors of Faith Bible Baptist Church in Eden, New York? One church in America, a country church. Why is it overflowing? Why don't we have 27 more church plants going? Because people try to live the Christian life on their own. You know, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But listen, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, I don't really live by my faith. It's by his faith. His faith. So he does care for us. And we do not have to live the Christian life on our faith alone. We can live on Christ's faith. It says it right there. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, besides this, hey, Pastor Seth, he has provided everything that we need to live the Christian life. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us, listen, all things that to pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's a powerful verse. He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Master, careth thou not that we cannot live the Christian life on our own? No, he cares. Yes, Jesus cares. Number three, Master, careth thou not that we have troubles? No, I think he does. I think the Lord has seen the beginning from the end. And he's seen it all. We are finite, my friends, but the Lord, he is infinite. He ever always was. Is that even a statement that makes sense? But he was everything. He was there before the creation of the world. He knows it all. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him. Finish it. You guys know it. For he careth for you. You know, I find in our text verses that we read earlier in Mark that it's not that Jesus does not care, but he just wasn't worried about the storm. I'm sure he cared. He cared. Master cared or not. No, he cared. He just wasn't worried. You know, there are so many wonderful truths we can learn from that. I want to share four of them tonight with us. I'll say number one, storms in life will undoubtedly come. And Brother Justin, you found out they come at any time in the most unpredictable times. Just when you're about to go forward with the ministry and getting a vehicle and raise a lot of money for it, and all of a sudden a storm came. Hasn't it been wonderful to see the Lord direct that storm? You are in a storm, or you just got out one, or my friends, you are headed for one. And you people listen online here. It's going to happen. You're living on Easy Street maybe now and everything's going well. Trust me, you are going to be in a storm someday. Young people, I am so excited. I mentioned it this morning, Pastor, as I was talking about one time you and I had a conversation. And we were a little frustrated. I don't see you get frustrated a lot. But once we were a little frustrated, I don't know, about three or four, five years ago maybe. And he said, man, brother, it just seems like the young people around here, they just don't realize all the hard work we've put into this ministry. I don't know if you remember that. And boy, we prayed. We cared. We tried encouraging our young people. And boy, I'm excited today. I said it this morning, it's kind of funny you mentioned something. We have a lot of great young people coming up in our ministry now, in our church. Things are looking up and good, you know. But my friend, storms are going to come to every one of you young people. And are you going to wonder, does Jesus even care about you? Yes, he cares. You know, it's not because we're bad that storms come. It's not because we're good that storms come. And it's not because of anything, just other than the fact that we're human beings living in a sin-cursed world. All of us, let's remember that God has a plan and a purpose for every storm that comes into our life. What's that verse that talks about all things work together for good for them that are called according to his purpose? You know, but work. We gotta work it. And now young people in our church that, you know, you're all lovey-dovey sitting together. I see your pictures over there. Oh, cutie pie. Troubles are gonna happen. There's gonna be difficulties in your life. You gotta work it. The problems aren't just gonna get fixed like that. You gotta work it. You gotta get on your knees. You gotta beg God. You gotta keep your faith strong. You gotta stay in the Word of God. You're never gonna make it in the Christian life if you get out of the Word of God. These are works that you gotta do. The maintenance of the Christian life that Pastor Cole has yelled out from this pulpit for over 30 years. I think that's a sermon you preach every year about maintaining the Christian life, and that are the keys. Remember the story in John 9, verses 1 and 3, I'll read it. And he says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Oh, come on, you're getting to the nitty-gritty there, huh? This is like humans. Why do we got to ask questions like that? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. We got to stop judging each other, too, when things happen in life and sickness and stuff. You know, because God said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. My friends, when troubles come your way in trial, be thankful, be happy, be glad, because maybe, just maybe, if you work it right, God can work in you and he can get glory out of your life. His works can be made known in you and people could see, man, that person truly is a believer in the Lord. God's real. Be used of God. How about the story of Lazarus, Brother Justin, in John 11, verses 1 through 4? He says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death. What was this for? What was this sickness for? But for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Bob's got the verses up. You're chucking on me out there, aren't you? Even the Apostle Paul, Pastor, learned this lesson in Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again. Where ye were also careful, but you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. Listen what Paul said. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am. That means troubles. That means trials in the middle of them, Paul said. He says, I therewith to be content. He was satisfied. He wasn't going to get bitter against God. Because he knew. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be put low. I know how to be lifted up. And everywhere in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. A famous verse there, Philippians 4:13. That was through his troubles. Said he's content in them. Young people, old people, all people. He careth now. When troubles come, does the Lord care? Master cares, but not when we have troubles. I tell you, my friends, he does care. And troubles are undoubtedly going to come. And we see three stories in the Bible of three people that came to the storms of life will undoubtedly come. You can mark it now, my friend. Someone, the old preacher under the tent means, you can mark it now, my friend. I say number two, storms come. Whether or not Jesus is in the boat. You know, knowing Jesus does not exempt anyone from the storms of life. Apostle Paul, he sets the right example. In 2 Corinthians 12, you know, hey, I'm a born-again Bible believer. I'm all set. Nothing's going to happen to me, right? I'm good. I got this, my Pastor Lewis squeaky voice on. I listen to Pastor Lewis's message right now. I got the squeaky voice in there for you, Pastor Lewis. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure. That's a problem with us men, right? I mean, come on, honestly, all of us, myself. It's a battle I always have to fight. More and more, I'm glad. I'm more and more. I'm not perfect, but more and more, I'm learning. Like, he preached humbleness. The more it doesn't have to be your way, the more you can enjoy other people giving glory. It sure is a better way to live your life. And I wish I could have it all the time. And it was a thing where you could just take a scrub brush and scrub all the pride out. Get out of here, pride! Because pride sure is ugly, isn't it? Especially when you're seeing someone and you're working with somebody and you see them and you don't like what's going on. You know, and I weren't even working out at the church there. I thought I tried to treat everyone good. And then one day, someone else was my boss and he said some things. And I said, I don't like this. I just said it to him. But then I realized, I said, wow, I do that. That's not good. And I learned a very valuable lesson that day. And I've been trying very hard to apply it. And that's just the way our life, learning from what we see in other people. Oh, pride is such a horrible thing, but it's so great. We can figure it out a little bit, you know, just a little. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, Paul said. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, the Lord, please take it from me, that it might depart from me. And he saith unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, it's a hard one to take sometimes when the Lord seems to get these problems. And the Lord says, okay, this is, you're dealing with this. Okay. Why? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, and Paul said, most gladly. Therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities. That's crazy talk, ain't it? But why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All I got to say about that, brother, is wow. Amen. Storms came to Paul. I think Paul was a good Christian man. And start out right, but he, you know, that's why he gives people like me hope. And start out right, and a lot like me and everyone, you know. And all of us, really. Even Pastor Seth, you told me so many times, your testimony, I always wished I had your testimony. Never drank alcohol, never put alcohol to your lip, and had a good upbringing and everything. But you even tell me, you're a sinner. And you still have to go through things, and still things happen. We all have it. And we need to just understand when these things come, they're going to come. And we need to look at this example of Paul. We could be made great if we work this right. So, hey, storms are going to come whether Jesus is in the boat or not. I say number three, storms cause us real concern. Look, when I have a headache, it hurts. I know someone else is dying of cancer in the back room and they're curled up in the floor over there. But my headache, it still hurts. It's still real. It doesn't give me any joy to know someone's hurting worse. You know, that's a tough one, you know. They're real. But actually, though, my friends, this concern for a lot of the Christians, maybe the majority of Christians, it's really worry. How am I going to do? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to take care of this? Like right now, how many people are worrying about work? You know, we're salary at the church, but even so, you know, we haven't had been offerings. The bank account can crash. We can go down. But I am not worried one ounce about any of it. Matthew 6:33 is still in the Bible. The verse I memorized in the beginning of coming into ministry 28 years ago, actually it was longer than that because I gave up my career job 2 years before that and was working at the church half the time. Anyways, I remember working at the building over there. I made $7,000 one year after making four times that year before working for the church, you know. And then I'll never forget what you told me one day. He says, brother, you're a giver. You know, when you get in a ministry, now you're going to have to learn to be a receiver. And it was, I never understood that for a long time. I understand what you mean now. It's an art to be able to do that. To, you know, not be a moocher or taker, but accept blessings. It's kind of hard to explain. Justin, I think you know what I'm talking about. You know, they're real. The storms are real. They're real pains, you know. And they're, you know, don't worry about them. Because there has never been a storm that worried the Savior. Hey man, isn't it after all, isn't it? What is his name? He's called the Savior. He will save us. You know, notice Mark 4:41 from our text says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Picture that, my friends. The wind and the waves are under the authority of Christ. And we're going to worry about troubles in our life when God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord, if you're trying to make Him Lord of your life, you don't become Lord of your life to get saved, but we try to make Him Lord of our life so we obey His authority, like I taught this morning. On a bright way. He can stop the wind. He can stop the waves. I think He can take care of our problems. So number four, a lack of faith, though, is the cause for this worry. Mark 4:40 in our, it says, "And He said unto them," our text, "Why are ye so fearful?" And I say to us who are having troubles and trials, why are we so fearful? He said, "How is it that you have no faith?" Well, that's how it is, why people today in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ have no faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Are you in your Bible? Pastor Seth, I'll never forget it when you preached the other day. It was something profound, another thing where I just love you, my friend. You're a dear friend of mine, and you're one a good Christian man. And you mean well, and you always mean well. You were about to read your Bible 3 times a year. Praise the Lord. Four times a year. You just finished your second or whatever. First time. Praise the Lord. No, I'm serious. I'm honest. When I heard that, I go, my ears went up. I went, wow. Maybe that's why problems don't worry you. Maybe that's why when things come in your life, you don't fall apart. My friends, if you're falling apart when trouble comes, first thing you need to ask yourself, are you in the book? Are you in the book? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't know where I am time-wise. Pastor, I only preach 25-20 minutes on Sunday morning because I give the announcements, I give everything, and I pay attention to the clock. I don't know when I started. I got a few more points. When Jesus is in the same boat with us, we need not worry. Because listen, my friends, I would much rather sink with Jesus than float without Him. Let me repeat that. I would much rather sink. Brother Justin, I'd rather sink with Jesus and float without Him. You know, you that aren't serving the Lord and you're out there making money and you're living on a high street now, you may be floating in the joys of the world, for the sake of the happiness of the world. I wouldn't trade what I have if I had a trouble in having the Lord with me for anything you have. Never. I don't be careful how I say this, but I believe my faith is one of my strongest attributes. I just trust the Lord. I'm just believing Him. I may be dumb enough to just say, Lord, You can take care of everything we need. I trust Him. I have faith. I hope you can too, my friends. By faith. You know, I've been through a lot. And I've seen the Lord bring me through it all. So the next thing that comes, I'm not going to say, that's it. I quit. I give up. I'm done. And the pulpit at Brightway, I do that little thing. I throw my glasses in where'd they go? What? Oh! They just drop them and they stay right there. Look it. I've had some things happen in my life, troubles and trials, and I just seen the Lord bring me through them. I just seen Him through it. You know, I'd much rather sink. I'd much rather sink with Jesus than float without Him. In conclusion, we'll conclude now. I know it's a little unorthodox with my papers up here. I'm real smooth in my transition and my walking up. I was so nervous. I couldn't even read the scriptures when I started. I don't know why. It's like funny. People are looking at me. You know, perhaps it was not Jesus who needed the wake-up call, Pastor. You know, maybe he didn't need to be called. He didn't need to be woken up. I think the disciples were the ones who needed the wake-up call. How many are sitting at home watching this? Maybe it's you who need the wake-up call. Jesus does not need to be woken up. How many of us need to be woken up? How many times do I need to be woken up? Perhaps we should wake up to the fact, my friends, that Jesus truly cares. In the song that Justin sang earlier, penned the words to one of the most best love hymns entitled, "Does Jesus Care?" I'll read it. "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? too deeply for mirth and song. As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And when the days are weary, the long nights dreary. Have you lived through long nights that were dreary, my friends? I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark? With a nameless dread and fear. As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? Think about that. When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to Him do I see? Do you see Jesus today? Do you see Jesus in your troubles? Are you with Him? Master, careth thou not that we can't get to heaven on our own? Yes, He cares. He provided a way for every one of us to get to heaven. Master, careth thou not that we cannot live the Christian life on our own? He sent the Holy Spirit down as our earnest, our down payment for salvation to dwell within us, to help us to live the Christian life. He's given us the perfect word, His love letter to us and to the world to teach us how to live. Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. He does care. To help us live our Christian life. Master, careth thou not when we have troubles? Oh yes, my friends, He cares. Today, I said the storms are going to come, no doubt. Be ready for them. If they ain't hit you yet, they're going to. And the storms are going to come whether you're with Jesus in the boat or not. It doesn't matter, you know, you think you got it made because you're a born again, Bible believing Christian. No, troubles are still going to happen. And yes, they are real. Headaches really hurt. Broken legs really hurt, you know. Death of loved ones really hurt. They really hurt. And it causes concern. And it's okay to have concern. It's okay to have a burden because that's what the brethren are for. That's why we need to get back to fellowship. That's why, please, Lord, fix this disease in our country. Take it away from us. We need to get back to fellowship. And this is one of the reasons why. And another is the Lord's Supper. We're supposed to remember. So let me encourage you, my friends. Do something. You look at the refrigerator. Remember the Lord. We'll forget. That's why we do the Lord's Supper. That's why we gather together. So we remember these things about the Lord. So I pray and I hope and give Pastor wisdom about somehow, some way we can still obey the ordinances and be smart. This virus is real and it's really killing people. I know several people. I know a friend that's in a coma right now on a ventilator. Yeah, they have problems and other issues and maybe some of the people would have died anyways, but this disease is killing people. And it's horrible and it's nasty. But we don't have to worry, my friends, if we have faith. Because a lack of faith is the only reason we worry. So get in the book. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Now, we haven't had an invitation this morning or ever. I said at Brightway Baptist Church. One of the men said, Brother Frank, don't ever skip an invitation. So I have an invitation. I try to have an invitation every time I pray. Use at home. Make your couch an altar. Make your chair an altar. Get on the floor somehow. Pray that you will understand that Jesus cares. He wants to take you through every trouble, every trial. Make a vow. No, make a vow. I made a vow a lot of years ago while reading the Bible. Don't make a vow. It's a scary thought. Promise yourself to get in the Word so your faith will be strong when you come. Brother Justin, why don't you come up and play that song slowly. And we'll just have a little time of invitation. Here we can pray at home. Pray. Ask the Lord to help us through these times. Ask Him to somehow, some way, Get this thought in your heart, no matter what happens, no matter what goes on in your life, you can start playing, that the Lord cares. You may seem like He doesn't care. You might not hear His voice and you're wondering, what's going on in my life? I know I have a dear friend that is in very much a lot of pain. She has this thing in her stomach and she's in a lot of pain. I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus cares. He cares for you. So the altar's open. Let's pray. I want to pray and then come back. I'd like to share a couple more verses with you. This message was mostly preached to the believers, to the Christian. Maybe there's some listening out there somewhere in the world, or someday this is recorded as Justin keeps playing. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, by faith you can accept Lord. You can accept Him as your Savior. And He could be there for you. He does care. He has provided a way of salvation for every one of you. You know, the first step to salvation is to realize, my friends, that we're all sinners. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So my friends, step one is to realize we are all sinners. The next thing we got to realize and understand that because of sin, there must be a penalty paid. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for being a sinner, and that is separation from God forever. Someday in a lake of fire or hell. But you know, my friends, this price, it can either be paid by you with an eternity in hell, or you can accept the price that Jesus paid for your sins. A great verse in the Bible, I love it. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you, my friends. He died for you. We're all sinners. And there's a wage for being a sinner. You work, you get paid money. You're a sinner, you get paid death. And not only physical death, but someday the Bible talks about a second death. A death where you, those that have not received the Lord will be tossed into a lake of fire. You know, to accept Jesus' payment for your sin, my friends, it's simple. It really is. Jesus did all the hard work when He died on the cross. There's all kinds of real strong doctrinal words, propitiation and justification and all these words. But basically, to accept Jesus' payment, that payment He made for you, for your sin, believing on Him, call on His name and ask Him to forgive your sins and save you, and He will. It's clear, it's in the Bible, it says Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's you talking, and shalt believe in thine heart, that's inside of you, you believing that God has raised Him from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of hell. For with the mouth, verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all rich. He's rich unto all that call upon Him. In Romans 10:13, perhaps I believe personally for myself, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. When Jesus was crucified, there was malefactors crucified on both sides of Him. And everyone was mocking on Jesus. They were throwing things in His face. And they were saying, if He is the Lord, if He is the Son of God, let Him come down off that cross and save Himself. And the thieves were throwing the same thing in His teeth, they said. And one thief, he looked at Jesus, and he had a change of heart. And I think he believed in his heart. And he said, and he called on the Lord. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what did Jesus say? He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for being a sinner. But Jesus paid that penalty on the cross when he hung on Calvary. He took every sin of all man that ever lived and ever will live and put it on himself. And I said, my friends, if you are ready, even maybe right now, someone listening to this out there, I don't know, some family member watching over a friend's house or somebody listening, if you want to accept the Lord as your Savior, as your personal Savior, take time right now, pray, believing He alone has paid the penalty for your sins. Trust in Him and Him alone to save you. Pray some words like this. Say, dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Please, Jesus, give me the free gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Take me to heaven when I die. I trust fully, 100% in you. I don't know who's listening, who will ever listen to this, but I want to tell you right now, my friends, when you accept Jesus, He is faithful to do just what He said He would do. He forgives you. And He saves you. If you called on Jesus and you asked Him to save you from your sins, and you believe you're a sinner, and understand that He paid that penalty, for by faith are you saved. It's by grace, by faith. 1 John 5:13 then is a promise for you. It says, these things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I hope somewhere, someday, sometime, even tonight, someone heard this message and they accepted Jesus as your Savior. That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Brother Justin, I'll pray and we'll close right now. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had to preach the message. What a privilege it is to step behind this pulpit. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You gave me some liberty. I was so nervous when I got up here. So I pray that this message would be remembered. That we would remember it forever. All of us, myself, every one of us, that we would remember when we ever wonder, does Jesus really care? You know, we start to drift away and get bitter and think that, you know, friends have betrayed us and the pastor has shook in our hand and somebody said this or said that about my kids and you start to drift away and you start to think, nobody cares about me. And it happens because we all got pride and we all get hurt. It happens to every one of us. At that time, in that place, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to remember that Jesus does care. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, thank you everyone for watching us tonight. We'll be back here Wednesday at 7 o'clock.